From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns begins his second message on the theme of Pardon for Sins of Believers, part of this ongoing series of studies in the Lord's Prayer. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First, please enjoy this devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook by C.H. Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled, Doing What God Can Bless. The text is found in Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 8. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses, and in all that thou settest thine hand unto. If we obey the Lord our God, he will bless that which he gives us. Riches are no curse when blessed of the Lord. When men have more than they require for their immediate need, and begin to lay up in storehouses, the dry rot of covetousness or the blight of hard-heartedness is apt to follow the accumulation. But with God's blessing it is not so. Prudence arranges the saving. Liberality directs the spending. Gratitude maintains consecration. And praise sweetens enjoyment. It is a great mercy to have God's blessing in one's iron safe and on one's banking account. What a favor is made ours by the last clause, The Lord shall bless thee in all that thou settest thine hand unto. We would not put our hand to anything upon which we dare not ask God's blessing, neither would we go about it without prayer and faith. But what a privilege to be able to look for the Lord's help in every enterprise. Some talk of a lucky man. The blessing of the Lord is better than luck. The patronage of the great is nothing to the favor of God. Self-reliance is all very well, but the Lord's blessing is infinitely more than all the fruit of talent, genius, or tact.
Thank you.
Soon it will be the time of year when the thoughts of God's people turn with special emphasis to the miracle of the Incarnation, the incomprehensible truth of Emmanuel, God with us. The Apostle John wrote, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Joseph was told, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." To assist you in meditating upon the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into the world, we're happy to offer a unique publication called The 12 Days of Christmas, written by Roger Ellsworth, an experienced minister and writer. The 12 Days of Christmas is a small paperback book containing 24 devotions, each including a short scripture reading, several paragraphs, and a concluding To Think About section that draws lines of application from the text to modern-day life. The book is intended to help the hearts and minds of believers to focus on the wonder of the Incarnation, as well as to encourage unbelievers to come in repentance and faith to Christ. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make this inspirational booklet available free of charge to our listening audience. You may have a copy simply by contacting us by phone, email, or regular mail. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We encourage you to request your free copy of The 12 Days of Christmas while supplies last. In the previous few broadcasts, Dr. Cairns began to address the matter of dealing with sin in the lives of believers. He continues that theme today and explains what we are asking for when we pray for pardon from sin. Strange as it may seem, many Christians have hazy ideas about this matter of God's forgiveness. May the Lord teach us from His Word. Now here is Dr. Cairns to begin his second message on the theme, Sins in the Lives of Believers.
Our text once again this morning is in the words of the Lord Jesus, Matthew 6, verse 12, "And forgive us our debts." And forgive us our debts. I'm not reading the last part of the verse, for we will not be able even to get near to that part this morning. We have been making very slow progress through this 12th verse. That in itself is a testimony to the greatness and the fullness of the verse and the importance of the subject with which it deals. Way back, many weeks now, I emphasized the conjunction at the beginning of the verse. This is the first petition of the Lord's Prayer to start with a conjunction. It's the first one that is deliberately linked to what goes before it. It's, as it were, the other petitions were, while obviously related to all around them, nonetheless, as sentences freestanding. This one is, "Give us our daily bread and forgive us our debts or our sins." And I took time to try to expound to you the importance and significance of the Lord Jesus joining those two petitions. Then we looked at the whole idea of the problem of sin, even in the life of those who are saved, the problem of sin. We started to look at the idea of pardon for sin. Last Lord's Day, I took time to think of what, according to this text, we must do about our sin. How to deal with sin. What we must do about it. We spent some time thinking about what the Lord Jesus here instructs us to do. Now I want us to go a little further. I want us to deal first and foremost this morning, and perhaps the only thing we'll get to deal with, is what we're asking God to do with our sins. The word here is, "Forgive us our debts." The same word yields the idea of sin as well as debt. I've already dealt with that, and I'm not going into that again this morning, but what we're asking God to do for us is to forgive us our debts or our sins. Now, I don't suppose there's a more familiar word in the English language than the word forgive. And yet when you look at it, for all its apparent simplicity, it's a very complicated word. There are many words, you can look at them and just see how they're constructed. And from the very construction, you can gather something of the meaning. But you look at the word "for" and the word "give," and you put them together and try to construe the meaning of the word "forgive," and you're no further forward than when you started. What does it mean? We have a general idea, obviously, of what's involved in forgiveness, but when we translate that into the spiritual realm, we find that we begin attributing to the word things that the Bible does not attribute to it, and we begin imagining things about divine forgiveness which are certainly untrue. Another way of putting it is, if we're going to understand forgiveness, we'd better understand the word that the Lord Jesus uses here. And we better understand how the Bible itself presents the whole idea of pardon. This is what we're asking God to do. Forgive us our debts. Now, the word that the Lord Jesus uses is really a very familiar word in the Greek New Testament. It is also a very important word, and it's a very significant word. It's a word that's used in many connections. It's not merely used about pardoning sins. As I say, it's a very, very familiar and well-used word. The basic meaning of the word is simply to leave. or to let go, or to send away, or put away. Let me give you some examples. In Matthew chapter 4, we read about the devil coming to tempt the Lord Jesus Christ. And after the three great temptations that are there recorded, we read in verse 11, "Then the devil leaveth him." That's the word that Christ uses in a different connection here. It's translated forgive. In Matthew 4 again, we read in verse 20 about the disciples whom Jesus called to follow him. They were fishermen, and straightway they left their nets. Same word. And followed him. In Matthew 13, verse 36, we read that then Jesus sent the multitude away. Sent away the multitude. The same word that's here translated, forgive. In yet a different connection, in the connection of the breakdown of a marriage. In 1 Corinthians 7, verse 11, Jesus says, "Let not the husband put away his wife." The word "put away," it's this verb that's translated here, forgive. It has yet another meaning. Matthew chapter 15, verse 14. It may mean simply disregard. Jesus teaches us there concerning the scribes and Pharisees. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. Let them alone. Let alone. That's one word. It's the same word that's here. What does it mean to let the Pharisees alone? He doesn't mean don't condemn them, because he condemns them. He means disregard them. Disregard their teaching. Disregard their ideas. Disregard their hypocritical stance. Just disregard them. They say they are leaders spiritually, but they're only blind leaders of the blind. Disregard them. Now put all these together, and when we ask the Lord, forgive us, we begin to get a picture from these various usages of the fullness of the meaning of the word. And when the word has the idea of forgive, it doesn't lose all these other shades of meaning. It brings them with it. And in regard to sin, these are the things we're asking the Lord Jesus Christ to do. We're saying, Father, put away our sins. Father, disregard our sins. Now, I'm going to pursue that in a little depth, in a little detail. But let me, before we begin to go through some scriptures and try to see exactly what's involved in this matter of asking the Lord to forgive us or put away or disregard our sin, let me say that when we pray this prayer with all the meanings that I will now be trying to set before you, what we're asking for is a full pardon. We are not asking God for a partial dealing with sin. We're asking God to deal with our sins in all their fullness, in every part of our heart and mind and being. We're asking for a full pardon. It's a wonderful thing when a sinner comes to Christ, burdened by guilt and shame and sin, bowed down as John Bunyan's famous pilgrim was, bowed down with a great burden of sin. And he comes to the cross of Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus doesn't start going down the list and say, "Well, I forgive some things for they're not as bad as others." He takes the whole mighty black and awful burden and he says, "I'll deal with it all." It's a full pardon of sins past and present and future. I'll deal with it all for all time and for all eternity. And when a Christian comes realizing he's been justified from all things by the free grace of God and the merits of Christ. But yet, he realizes, yet in this flesh, in this body, he's not perfect in what he does for God. The Lord still says, a full pardon. It's a full pardon we ask for. It's a strange word I may use, but it's a very biblical word. It's a faithful pardon. What does that mean? 1 John chapter 1 verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. The word faithful there is a reference to the promise of God. It's a reference to the Word of God. And you know, this is of vital importance for saint and sinner. For every sinner who comes burdened with guilt and shame and sin, seeking the forgiveness of God, he needs something that is as solid as the rock of Gibraltar. He needs something that he can get his feet upon and say, come what may, though heaven and earth pass away, here is something that will never shift. What is that thing? It is the Word of God. It doesn't do a sinner any good for a preacher to say you're forgiven. That's the great fallacy of popery. You have a priest that says, I forgive you. But what good is that? No use whatsoever. Many preachers make the awful mistake in dealing with sinners who are grappling, or even saints who are grappling with the burden and the trouble of assurance of salvation. I have known great preachers to make the mistake of come along and say, look, you're forgiven, you're pardoned, you're saved, and pat them on the back and send them on their way. That's crazy. It's foolish. Why? Because the man who would stake his whole eternity on my word is playing the fool. For I can be wrong. But here's a word that never fails. Here's a word that never, never, never fails. And when John wrote to the young Christians in 1 John 5, he says, here's the reason I'm writing these things to you. And notice he's saying, I'm writing to you who believe. I'm writing them that you may know that you have eternal life. When we come to the Lord saying, Lord, forgive us, we need to know it's a faithful pardon. It's a pardon that is grounded in the promise of God. We need a free pardon. If God said, I'm going to pay 99% and I'll leave you 1%, we would all be in hell. If he said, I will pay 99.99999% and leave you to pay the other fraction, we would still be in hell. Our sin is great. Our guilt demands the wrath of an infinitely holy God. And unless his pardon is free to us, we can never have it. Why I hate the religions of this world. I hate apostate Christianity. I hate the denominational message that tells sinners do this and do that and do the other thing. I hate the Arminian garbage that says God has done his part. Now it's up to you to do your part. Because if God does not give me a free pardon, he gives me no pardon whatsoever. It is not by works of righteousness that we have done. It is not by payments we have made. But thank God it is by a pardon full and faithful and free.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.